Welcome to Parks After Dark. The silk robes are right over there. Grab your favorite Jordan Matthews highlight and let's have a take or two.
Going on, thanks for having me on, man.
It's Parks After Dark, right here on the WIP Evening Show.
Of the show.
Parks, in my opinion, is the smartest guy on the station. Some of us are afraid to voice that because of his courageous stand on a lot of these issues that are unpopular. But, I mean, definitely rooted in intelligence.
Rooted in intelligence, as we add a little spice to the Elliot Shore Parks intro. I'm not sure if he's heard that one yet, but Elliot, welcome to the show. Elliot Shore's evening show, usually at least once a week, and we're doing it Friday night tonight. I don't know if you heard that. That was a caller on my show a couple weeks ago saying you're the smartest guy on WIP. What do you think of that?
You know, Joe, I think we've been hearing a lot more of that recently. You know, at the beginning of the season, people maybe were not as thrilled at us, but I think that caller and a lot of other callers, I started to realize we were maybe on to something.
You know what? Sometimes the brightest minds, it takes a while for people to realize what they're saying because they say things that aren't, you know, maybe not
exactly
everyone realizes
right.
them in the moment. But that's where we're at right now. And I'm not sure about you, Elliot, but I'll tell you where I'm at right now with this team. Like, I gave up on them being a great team a long time ago. I was skeptical they would be one even in the summer. But I thought, all right, they'll rebound. They'll be pretty good. And I gave up on that, too, because they're not very good. But after watching the Cowboys the last couple weeks, Elliot, I don't trust the Eagles, but I trust the Cowboys less. Like, that coach is bad. The owner makes things more of a circus. And although I think Dak Prescott has played well and outplayed Carson this year, he's not looked his best the last couple weeks to kind of get them through it. I think the Eagles are in a pretty decent spot right now, despite a 5-7 record. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been pretty skeptical of the team all year, but watching that game last night, I couldn't come away with any other thought than this playoff spot is the Eagles to lose. I mean, they're going to have two very winnable games the next week. Then the Cowboys come here. The Cowboys are a complete mess right now, and I agree with you. Dak has outplayed Carson this year, but I think it's between the franchises and the owner, the head coach, and the GM. And I know there's been a lot of talk about who's to blame. Look at the fact that Jason Garrett's on the hot seat. Jerry Jones is, you know, causing a disruption every week that he talks. You can just really see the difference right now in the two franchises. So the playoff spot's there for the taking, despite the three losses in a row. If Carson can just outplay Dak the final four games of the season, the Eagles will be in the playoffs.
There's no question. And if he does that, it will change everything. Elliot, what's your stance on the meaning of what we're talking about here? Because, you know, tonight we were talking about the idea of the playoffs, and I got a few calls saying, this doesn't matter anyway, because the Eagles are going to get blown out in the wild card round, even if they make it. And I mean, it would be a unique thing because the Eagles, let's say they get in an 8-8 or 9-7, they might play a 13-win team here with the NFC West runner up. So they would be significant underdogs. What's your take on that? Like, even if they get in, what's the difference? Because the way I view it is it matters to get in the playoffs.
If the Eagles don't make the playoffs this year, they're not Super Bowl contenders next year. That's how important playoff experience is for Carson Wentz. You cannot expect, I don't care what move they make this offseason. If they trade for Julio Jones, if they, you know, bring in another stud running back, if they shore up the defense, none of it matters if Carson doesn't get playoff experience this year, because next year, no matter how good the roster is, you can't count on him to carry them to the Super Bowl his first time into the playoffs. So, yeah, you're right. Are they going to be underdogs in the first game if they make it? Absolutely. I think they have a decent chance of winning a home playoff game. But regardless of whether they'd win it or they'd lose it, just getting Carson Wentz that experience should be priority number one for this franchise right now. It's way more important than picking five picks earlier in the draft.
Elliot, we haven't talked since the Miami game, but that was the day where I think a lot of people decided, I'm out. I can't believe in this team anymore because they lost to Miami. What do you think happened down there? And then do you think there's going to be lingering effects, or is it one they could just kind of just brush off and say, it really didn't matter, because in the standings, it really didn't matter?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that game. I mean, the first is, and I'm not making an excuse for the team, but I think now that we're removed from it, maybe we should have seen this loss coming. I mean, the Dolphins have a veteran quarterback. They have a stud receiver in Devontae Parker. They're an unfamiliar opponent. It was on the road. So I think actually of all their remaining games, maybe even including the Cowboys, the Dolphins, you can make the argument, were the toughest game remaining on the schedule now. Now, going into that, they're 10-point favorites, and they should have won the game. Make no mistake about it. But I do think that game's a little tougher than maybe we gave it credit for. And I'd also say that I think it was one of those games where I know they scored 31 points, but I would have liked to see Carson do more at the end there. I mean, the offense only scored three meaningless points basically the whole second half. And, you know, yes, the defense gave up 38, but guess what? Ryan Fitzpatrick did whatever it took to lead his team to a win there. I think they had four touchdowns in the second half, or maybe five. So the defense struggled, but the defense has been playing well basically this season, and certainly better than the offense over the last month. So I was disappointed to see the offense come up so small in the second half.
Elliot, how about injuries this week? And it's amazing because when Jordan Howard went out a couple weeks ago, it felt like, all right, that's a stinger. Players have stingers often, especially linebackers, running back types. And then they come back, and he's still not cleared for contact. And like I know Doug the other day said it's not necessarily a season-ending thing, but I don't have any hopes he's coming back at this point. What's the latest, and what's your thoughts on Jordan Howard here?
Yeah, look, they're calling it a stinger. When you ask around down at the NovaCare, they insist that's what it is. But you're right. I mean, it's been almost, I think, over a month now since he suffered that stinger. He doesn't play next Monday. He will have missed four games plus the bye week. So it's certainly concerning. And, he must be really hurt. I don't think this is something where he's milking it for free agency because he is a free agent at the end of the year, and this is impacting his value. And with how much they were playing him, if he would have remained healthy, I think he would just continue to add onto his value as a free agent. So it's got to kill Jordan that he's not able to play. And especially this week against the Giants, the one thing the Giants do well is stop the run. So they could really use Jordan Howard this week.
The opposite, Elliot, was Miami. Miami's awful against the run. The Eagles had some success, and they ultimately in the second half passed the ball way more, and they went a different direction. And since Jordan Howard went out, Elliot, they have run the ball a lot less percentage-wise. Now, some of that, they've been down in games. They haven't had to try to come back, like in the Patriot game and whatnot. But they've run the ball less than they were before. Do you think that will even out here, or do you think that they can't replicate what Jordan Howard did? Because if they can't, like, I thought they found an identity there against Buffalo and Chicago, and without Jordan Howard, it feels like they can't replicate that.
Yeah, me and you agree on a lot of things, Joe. This is one thing I did. I don't think.
All right, we'll put Elliot on hold.
I was fine putting it in Carson's hand. Sorry, can you hear me?
Got you now, yep.
Oh, I was just saying, me and you agree on a lot of things, but this is something we did disagree on. I'm perfectly fine with continuing to throw the ball at this point. Put the ball in Carson's hands. With Jordan Howard not there, you can't trust Miles. Put it up.
I put Elliot on hold. We'll try to see if the connection can get better there. It was coming in and out. But, yeah, look, they have not percentage-wise run the football close to as much without Jordan Howard as they did with him. The last couple weeks of Jordan Howard, they were running the ball at a significant clip. And then since Jordan Howard went out, they aren't. Now, Elliott's fine with putting the ball in Carson Wentz's hands. And I think long-term, that's what they're going to do. It's a Doug Peterson offense. They're a passing team. But that does put extra pressure on the quarterback and this passing game to produce here. Elliott, you back?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm trying to get in a good place with service. Hopefully you guys can hear me now.
All right, we got you now. All right, let's look forward to Monday night, Elliott. The one little subplot or twist of this thing is Daniel Jones, the rookie quarterback for the Giants, out with a high ankle sprain, which means Eli Manning back in. Elliott, there's been a lot of people out there this week that are saying, well, you know, this is bad for the Eagles, and Eli might light it up. I don't see how this is bad for the Eagles, considering I think at this point, and the Giants told you this in week three, Daniel Jones is an upgrade, more talented at this point than Eli Manning. What's your feeling on the quarterback switch and how it impacts the game?
Yeah, so I'm one of those people that think Eli Manning playing is bad news for the Eagles. I think ultimately they still win the game. But the tough part is mostly that Eli's not played for 2 months, so you don't have a lot of tape on him and what they would have done with him recently. They've been playing with Daniel Jones, a quarterback, so you don't get to study that tape if you're Jim Schwartz. And also just from a narrative perspective, can't you just see Eli Manning coming back Monday night, first game back, last of four with the Giants, somehow leading them to a win? Like, I think if Daniel Jones was playing, I would have felt more confident the Eagles were going to win this game. I think Eli's a bit of a wild card that this team really didn't need right now with how poor they're playing overall.
Well, that it does change things, and they haven't seen him, obviously, in a long time. All right, Elliott, before we let you go, you pointed something out to me the other day that I think the audience needs brought to their attention. So I guess you were having a conversation, texting back and forth with Tucker here, Tucker producing the show, and you let me know about, I guess it's an emoji Tucker has. So tell us what you showed me.
Yeah, so Tucker sent me a text message, and the first thing that stuck out to me was his meme emoji, is what it's called. Basically, Tucker appears to have made a version of himself that he puts as his profile pic for messages. And, I texted it right to you. It's got a pink background. He's got his tongue sticking out. He's winking. I was just I was surprised. I was trying to see what's he going for exactly with that. I mean, is it supposed to be fun? Is it supposed to be flirtatious? Like, I wasn't sure what his goal there was.
Tucker, do you want to chime in on this, that your me emoji? Because I'm going to tweet it out from the show account. I want to know if people think it looks like you.
I didn't even know that existed.
That sounds like a lie. I don't think Apple made it for you, Tucker. Let's be honest here. This is the evening show. We keep it real.
It's a trust tree. It's okay. We can all be honest.
That's fine.
So the interesting part is I don't get that from Tucker when he texts me. So I'm not sure how it works or what kind of phones get it, but I have it. I mean, it's real. Elliot, I'm going to tweet it out from the Evening Show account, so we'll see what the people have to say on whether or not it looks like Tucker. But I appreciate you bringing it to the show's attention because this is the kind of stuff people listen for.
Yeah, look, Tucker, we're just here to help. We just want to help you be better. So
that's fine. I appreciate that.
I will retweet it so more people can see it and we can all talk about it.
Elliot, that's you know what that is? That's what we do here. We talk about things. Sometimes they're uncomfortable. We do it anyway. Elliot, you have a great night. Enjoy your Friday evening and of course, the game Monday night.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. Elliot Trubbers. I'm going to tweet this at him. So, Tucker, you have no idea about this?
I knew like I made one that kind of looks like me. I didn't realize that it had like a face and people saw it.
So, yeah, so here's the... When Elliot, he texted me like a couple weeks ago and he said, what do you think about Tucker's, what is this called? The me emoji? He used that term correctly. All right. And I said, I don't know. What does that mean? And so when you and I text, I don't get this. So I had never seen this until he sent it to me, but I guess when you send messages to him, he sees it. So you have it. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I have one, like when I hit the little button for it,
yes.
Like it pops up, but it mirrors my face.
Right.
Like, it looks like me. Like, I can show you on my phone.
Oh, there it is. That's him.
But, like, it's just my face. Like, it's nothing crazy.
Well, what we want to know is, because Elliot doesn't think it actually looks like you. He thinks the me emoji software is off. So I'm going to ask the people, does the me emoji...
You realize we work in radio. No one knows what I look like.
But I'm also going to put a regular photo of you next to it.
You have a lot of pictures of me?
The internet is free, man. You can find whatever you want. All right. We'll get that up on Twitter. 888-729-9494. We only hit the hardest topics here, whether I'm driving an RV or a bus, or whether or not we should make a billion or pay a tax. Daryl is in Downingtown. Daryl, what's up tonight, buddy?
Not much. How you doing, Joe?
Good, Daryl. What's up?
Hey, I'm a little worried about you. I think you have sleep apnea.
You think so? Now, Daryl, I probably should disclose that I have two little kids, and I'm always up quite early. So, like, I'm usually up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I don't sleep much. I don't think I have sleep apnea, but you're worried?
Do you snore? I am worried about you.
My wife has never told me I snore. I don't think I snore, but I am usually tired.
Listen, I have sleep apnea. I've had it since I was 18. It wasn't diagnosed till I was 40. And the doctor asked me, he said, aren't you tired all day? I'm like, yeah, but I've been tired all day my entire life, so that didn't seem like anything different. So I'm just saying you might want to get it, go in for a test and make sure that's not what it is. Because I've had 6 kids, and the way I found out I had sleep apnea, after our last and 6th kid in a span of 10 years was sleeping through the wife, I woke up at 3 in the morning one night. My wife is sitting on top of me in the bed. I thought it was going to be one of those slasher things where your wife kills you in the middle of the night.
Oh, no, Daryl.
No, and she points her finger in my face. She says, you have sleep apnea. I timed you. You didn't breathe for 47 seconds. And I'm like, honey, at that point, I'm in survival mode. You're not a doctor. You don't know. She says, you're going to the doctor. So sure enough, next Monday morning, I went to the doctor. We had the test, and he said, I have chronic obstructive sleep apnea.
Oh, goodness. Well, Daryl, I'm glad, although that was a scary moment, you got yourself checked out. You know what? I will put it under advisement, and maybe I'll get myself checked out. Daryl, what's your thoughts on the Eagles here?
I would love to be on your bus. And I honestly do think the Eagles will pull it out. It's all going to – and I honestly think it's going to come down to the Dallas game. I'm just hoping that they can play better than they showed – the last time we played the Cowboys, and it's just, I don't know, man. They just, they're crazy. It's up and down. But the good thing is the Cowboys are playing as bad as the Eagles are.
That's the amazing part, Daryl.
Yeah.
I think in a normal year, this thing would be over. Like at 5-7.
Yeah, exactly.
But they just keep playing so badly, and it just seems like such a mess down there. They're opening the door for the Eagles.
Yeah, we're trying to give it to them. They're not willing to take it, so it might just be there for us to take it.
That I think exactly what it is. Both these teams are trying to give this division to each other, and nobody really wants to take it. It's crazy. Daryl, I appreciate the call, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Take
All
care.
Right. How about that? Emoji me's my potential sleep apnea, which I'm almost sure I do not have. I don't sleep much. I'm tired. The DMV is boring. I think if I – Tucker, if I fall asleep during the show, I think that's – we have to start worrying that.
I think what people have to realize is, like, this is our work hour, right? Like, we work from, like, 4 to 10, 6 to midnight, right. Whatever. Like, this is when we're most awake, right? Like, I get home at 1 a.m., you get home around, like, 11.
Yep.
So it's almost like, if you get home from work at 6 and then someone like, hey, go somewhere at 5 a.m., like, it's a much different time for us.
It's a good point. And for me, so I wake up early with my kids. So, like, by 11 o'clock in the morning, that's usually when I'm kind of, I'm done. I'm tired. That's a weird time for me. So, like, I'm at the DMV. It's boring. I fell asleep. I don't think it's a medical condition other than it's embarrassing, though, because I lost my place in line. And frankly, now I don't even want to go back to that same DMV. I feel like they're going to know me. Oh, there's a guy that fell asleep. There's a guy who can't even stay awake at the DMV. It's embarrassing. 888-729-9494. All right. A couple things I wanted to touch on off of what Elliot just told us there. One, the Jordan Howard thing. He's asked around, and it seems like it is just a stinger. Man, this is an inopportune time for a stinger. Like, and this one is lingering. And I know Doug this week said that they don't consider it a season-ending thing, but when is he going to play? Like, I can't imagine, I can't pretend to know what it's like being an NFL running back and having a stinger. Because it has to be one of those things where you know if it's not perfect or it's not back, you get one hit, you lower your shoulder once, and it comes back, and you're done then. So he's got to be careful with this, but my goodness, they need him. You watch the games the last couple weeks, they are shying away from the run, in part because he's not playing. I thought last week was a classic example. I mentioned earlier in the week, I thought Doug really had a bad day because of the he let that game go a certain direction it didn't have to go. And Elliot said to us there a few minutes ago that he doesn't think they trust the run game, you know, fully now when it's just Miles Sanders and JHI and Boston Scott. Well, I get that, but like Monday night against the Giants, if they build a 14-point lead early, the logic says run the ball. Keep the Giants offense, which is, you know, if they have a potent part of their team, it's Golden Tate, it's Evan Engram, it's Sterling Shepard. Like, they can make some plays in the passing game, regardless who their quarterback is. If the Eagles have an early lead, the play needs to be to run the football. And the fear I have now is, without Jordan Howard again, that Doug's only going to ask so much out of Miles Sanders. Only going to ask so much out of J.J. I don't think Boston Scott got a carry last week.
I don't even know if he played an offensive snap.
Yeah, so if you only trust your backs for 22 carries in a game, or whatever the number Doug kind of has in mind, how do you close the game out?
And it's weird because it's not like Jordan Howard's some transcendent talent, no. Right? I mean, he's good and he's played really well this year. But I don't know. I don't think there's that big of a drop-off from him to Miles Sanders and Jay Ajayi.
I don't either. And that's the part that is confusing. It doesn't seem like it's so drastic. And I understand the idea they don't want to wear out Miles Sanders. He's a young back. He's a rookie back. But I think they've done a good job, you know, a good enough job this year that Miles Sanders is not going to melt if he's asked to run the football a little bit more these last 4 weeks. Like, the big picture with him is important. I think as the years go on, Miles Sanders is going to be the star back of the Eagles. I am very impressed the more I watch him play. And you don't want to give him 300 touches his rookie year and ruin him. Like, but they're not doing that. That's not even in the cards. So down the stretch, last few games, if he has to go to, I think he had 20-something touches last week because of the pass receptions, but if he has to go to 20 touches a game, I think he's going to survive that. I don't think it's going to ruin Miles Sanders moving forward. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you hop in here. We'll come back. Your phone calls around 840. We'll talk to Pete McCarthy, who used to do pre- and post-game for the New York Mets. So he's seen Zach Wheeler, I mean, like, up close before the game and after the game for basically the whole guy's whole career. He knows Zach Wheeler, and he also knows some football. So we'll ask him about this game on Monday night and what the Giants bring to the table, if anything, with Eli Manning back at quarterback. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll have a loaded, and I mean a loaded, hot stove check-in, including Anthony Rendon, Josh Donaldson, Steven Strasburg. The fact that the Phillies may be listening to us again, like when they hired Joe Girardi and they signed Bryce Harper. We'll touch on it all. That is coming up at 9 o'clock. NFL picks as well. And Steve Fezzik of pregame.com. 888-729-9494. That's how you hop in. Are you on the bus? I am driving the Eagles playoff bus. Tickets available. One night only sale. Are you in? Do you believe? Or are you standing on the side? Are you not willing to get on a bus that, quite frankly, we know will be a bumpy ride?